In the 1950s, landscape painter Archie Teeter commissioned renowned architect Frank Lloyd Wright to create a studio for him in the Hagerman Valley. Matt Gillum visited the state's only building by Wright and sent this report.
We're riding in a school bus. The crowd is older and excited as we climb the side of the Snake River Canyon on the way to Bliss, Idaho.
All righty. Thank you. We'll be close by.
Stopping in front of one of many gated homes, seafoam green metal letters on a dark wooden wall announce Teeter's Knoll. The group of about 20 people makes its way into a shady manicured yard. Standing there to greet us is Henry Whiting. In his 60s, with a professorial air, he's the owner of the Frank Lloyd Wright home.
Teeter's Knoll was designed in 1952, so it's right near the end of his career, when he was working on the Guggenheim Museum in New York, among other much more famous projects.
While Wright built studios for himself in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Arizona, he designed creative spaces for several other artists. The only one ever to actually be constructed was the studio for the Teeters.
It's basically a one-room building. It was originally 1,800 square feet, so it's quite small. But that's because this is a place for creation, for Archie to do his landscape painting.
In an effort to help the Hagerman Valley Historical Society raise money for a new annex, Whiting has opened his area home to the public for just one day. For 40 minutes, visitors basically have free rein of the property. Stepping into the studio made from stone, the first thing you notice are the expansive windows. They rise at an angle from a few feet above the terracotta floor to the soaring wooden beams of the roof. Light floods in from all sides. Whiting sums up his residence with an analogy.
Frank Lloyd Wright loved music. He described a symphony as being an edifice of sound. This is one of the most musical buildings that you would ever see or inhabit. And I tell people now that being here is like being inside of a piece of music.
High notes dominate the song of the house. The flowing natural light, the aggressive thrust of the floor plan into a dramatic point like a ship's prow. The house builds to a crescendo. Kay Thorpe is a neighbor who relocated to the tiny town of Bliss from Southern California. A big part of the move had to do with being across the street from the right building. Every opportunity to go inside the house, she takes.
It's incredibly peaceful, and there's always a beautiful breeze coming through here. So it's kind of just a rejuvenation pleasure. I don't want to say or sound too crazy, but it's a little enlightening.
The owner of Teeter's Knoll, Whiting, has been the steward of the house for over 30 years. When he purchased it in the early 1980s, it was in disrepair. After giving it a second life, he has an impossible desire.
With the way the windowsills soar up towards the prow, parallel with the roof, it literally takes your breath away. I always wish that I could now see this place again for the first time.
As people on the tour enter the house, Whiting inconspicuously watches for looks of awe and appreciation as they get their first look inside the home. Wright buildings are hard to come by in this part of the country. There's one in Wyoming, one in Utah, and until earlier this year, there used to be three in Montana.
The Frank Lloyd Wright building was just torn down in Whitefish, Montana, and that was the first Wright building to be destroyed in decades.
It came as something of a shock to fans of the architect. Barbara Gordon is the executive director of the Frank Lloyd Wright Building Conservancy in Chicago. She says more properties could come to the same end as the one in Montana.
Our internal research has shown that of all the Wright buildings, about 54% have no significant legal protections to prevent them from demolition.
Getting a significant building designated a local landmark can help safeguard it, but she says the surest form of protection is something called a preservation easement. It basically prevents major structural changes without first consulting an organization like the Conservancy. However, Gordon is quick to point out,
we're not the Wright police. If we're holding the easement, we would like to be alerted to what is being decided on the house. And if there are major alterations, we will review it and provide ideas for different alterations.
According to Gordon, a lot of Wright homeowners see themselves as excellent stewards of their properties and aren't ready to commit to the easement. Back at Teeter's Knoll, owner Henry Whiting is one of those who doesn't have an easement. But the question remains, will Idaho's only Frank Lloyd Wright building meet a similar fate as the one in neighboring Montana? I asked Whiting about preserving what he's built.
I am getting older, so I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do with it. But I'm I'm not going to answer that question.
Clouds are rolling in, and there's a stiff breeze. Whiting looks out of the many windows of his famous home and watches as the sunny day dims. At Teeter's Knoll in Bliss, I'm Matt Gillum.